Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Law of Attraction.
Welcome
Talk
to
Radio.
The Law of Attraction.
Nothing.
Talk
more
Radio.
Important.
Nothing.
Feeling good.
Sign up
good.
To vote for your
sign up to
new
vote
co-host.
For your
true
new
www.lawofattraction.com
to be redirected to the vote site.
Redirected to the vote site.
Stay tuned for an exciting hour,
an exciting
hour of fun and laughter
through the Law of Attraction.
That's what you call a mix-up. Wait a minute, I gotta do it again, because I hit the button twice. Hold on. Nope, now there you go.
Welcome to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio, where nothing is more important than feeling good. Sign up to vote for your favorite new co-host through www.lawofattractiontools.com to be redirected to the vote site. Stay tuned for an exciting hour of fun and laughter through the Law of Attraction.
And now you can understand it. Oh, wow. Welcome to another segment of Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Julie Johnson from beautiful Southern California.
Yes, and I'm Hillary Harris from Massachusetts. And I am so excited, Julie, to be here tonight, auditioning to be the next co-host for Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
All right. Well, I am so glad you're here. This is going to be fun tonight. So, Hillary, why don't you start off and tell everybody what we're all about tonight?
Okay, will do. We have Darian Marshall and Darius Jones, authors of the book entitled Just Don't Talk About It, Be About It, which is a lighthearted and comical book that helps readers discover and rid themselves, I'm really interested in that, rid themselves of the obstacles that keep everyone from living the positive and productive and successful life that we all deserve to have. Wow, Julie, that sounds really interesting, and I am so eager to talk to them about the common obstacles that keep people stuck in life.
Oh, yes, I am too. This is going to be good, and they are just delightful anyway. We're just going to have tons of fun.
Yes, we will.
Yes, and Hillary, I am so glad you made it to the finals. You know, and for everybody who's listening to this throughout the week, tonight, throughout the week, whenever, why don't you tell them how they can vote?
Okay, will do. All you need to do is go to www.lawofattractiontools.com and click on the sign that says Vote Here in big neon letters there, and that will take you to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio Yahoo page.
It speeds things up if you're a member of Yahoo. And if you're not a member of Yahoo, you should be, because you're going to really miss out on some good information unless you are a member of
That's
Yahoo.
That's right.
But
yes.
I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah, you want to sign up for membership because it may involve a few steps, but it really isn't that tough. And I think it's so worth it to participate in this really exciting process.
Yes.
Yeah, so once you sign up, you'll get an email immediately that approves your membership. And then you can go to the Yahoo page and actually join the Law of Attraction discussion group. And once you do that, you'll be able to see on the left side of the page a light blue box for members, and it says polls, and you just click on that, and you'll vote, preferably for me, and you can vote good, great, or the winner.
Yes, and each time or each week you can go back and vote again for another finalist or add to Hillary's vote. And there's three things on there, good, great, or the winner. And you can change it at any time. This is fun. This is really creative. And just go out there and vote and help Hillary be our next co-host.
Yes, definitely. It's kind of like American Idol or Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah. American co-host.
The Law of Attraction has spoken. So everyone, please sign up, and you get to vote for the next 6 weeks. Now, if you can't sign up for Yahoo, if you have any trouble, you can always post something that says, I vote for Hillary or I choose Hillary on the host page show notes area. And you can do this anytime before and up until July 14th, right, Julie?
Right, absolutely. And just look on the host page. You can see the show notes that says Hillary. And just go in there and write it out. I want Hillary, and there you go. It will be counted with the other votes.
Okay.
So, Hillary, before we bring out our wonderful guest from the famous Green Room, did you have any Law of Attraction moments that you wanted to share with our listeners?
You know, I really did. This week was very exciting.
Oh, good.
For the past couple of weeks, I was sort of feeling a little stuck, like there was a little lull, things going on. And I had actually spent some time in meditation and visualization bringing in something new for my career. And one of the things that I had been visualizing and meditating about was having a radio opportunity.
Oh!
I know. And I had no idea of what exactly it would look like. But I just kept putting it out there and kept putting it out there. And all of a sudden, I got this email that said, looking for a co-host, are you interested? And here I am, a week later.
Isn't it funny how it works?
It's really, you know, that's the thing, is that anybody who knows me knows that I am all about effortlessness. I don't like struggle. If I do struggle, because I'm human, hey, we all do,
yeah.
It doesn't work for me. I get all bunched up and nothing moves forward. But when I just really let it go and put something out there and not be attached, it shows up. And I'll tell you something else. As a result of having this opportunity and announcing it to people that I know on my email list, I got another opportunity to speak on one of my favorite topics, prosperity, for a group.
Ooh!
So lots of things have been coming in. And also, I've just gotten so many lovely emails from clients and past clients and coworkers and friends just well-wishing and really acknowledging me and saying, you know, this is great, this is very exciting. And that was really nice, too. I see that as an attraction and an acknowledgement.
Wow. Yeah, how great is that?
Feels really good.
Yeah, wonderful week. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you are top-notch at attracting the things that you want and just letting it go. That's
when you
wonderful.
Get out of your own way, exactly.
Yeah, that's the key. Get out of your way.
Well, how about you, Julie? What was your week like, law of attraction-wise?
Yeah, you know, it's been busy, absolutely busy. But, you know, I found this great new video that I put onto the Law of Attraction Tools site called The Focus Movie. Have you seen that yet?
No, I saw it on the site, and I have not seen it yet. What is that all about?
Oh, it is absolutely terrific. It's a real short video that just shows you how to focus in on getting your desires. It's really to the point. It's really neat. And it's by Maria Gabb of No More Sabotage.
Huh.
It's really a phenomenal little thing. And I put it on there because, you know, there's people who need to see what we're talking about when we say focus.
Yeah.
Let, you know, a wall come up before, you know, stay focused and what it really means. And this is a great little tool to get you going. I still have those other videos on there, too, the inspirational ones that will raise the vibration. So I urge anybody just to go to that page and just experience it all. This is my gift to you, to everybody out there. I really think that these are the things that can help you get going in the right direction.
They really can. And you know what I love about them, too, is that they're so simple. You know, oftentimes people are wondering and asking, how do I do this, and trying to make it hard and like it's rocket science. And really, the concepts are so simple, they're almost too simple.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think that's our own minds trying to make things difficult.
You know? Oh, yes, the human way.
Yeah, the human way. I mean, there's no reason. It's law of attraction is simple, simple, wonderful experience. And the more we make it difficult and the more we don't understand it, it's really all there to be understood.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had a terrific week. And I had a great week of just appreciation of the show because after talking to you during the week and really thinking about, wow, you know, I'm having the best time of my life with this show. I get to focus on the things that I love and practice. It keeps me practicing the law of attraction in all areas of my life. And it's just amazing.
Yeah, and the wonderful people that you get introduced to, their energy that comes to you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and this week I talked to Dr. Patch Adams.
Oh, no
kidding. Yes.
From the movie.
Yes. He is wonderful. And what a great, you know, opportunity to just sit down and talk to him and say, you know, would you be a guest on my show?
And it's like, oh, yeah.
Well, and
okay,
his story
is so extraordinary and really all about being positive and using humor and really interrupting the established way of doing something by introducing something that is unusual.
Yes.
And that is something that is different than people are used to experiencing in the medical world, and how that can also help heal, this whole idea of lightness and the laughter and the positive energy.
The mind-body connection.
That's right, being a viable addition.
Yes, it is so important in the art of healing. I mean, it is really incredible, and I think he's the one that really introduced it to the world. So that's how come I was thinking, wow, what a phenomenal person to get online here. But anyway, I'm just all about appreciating the greatness and all the wonderful things that are flowing to me now. I'm not surprised, but I am in total awe of how well everything works. I just feel totally, totally appreciative. I'm in pure bliss right now. Everything is going well. So that's it for me. Law of attraction-wise, I just love it.
Well, now I know I was so excited when I got this opportunity to be part of such great energy.
Great. Yeah, it sounds like you've got energy, too. Just what I'm looking for.
Excellent.
Okay, and with that, let's bring out our wonderful guest, Darian Marshall and Darius Jones, author of the book Don't Just Talk About It, Be About It, which is a great, great, great talking. I mean, that's the way that we should be listening and talking to people. Don't just be about it. Talk about it. So, Darian and Darius, and I don't think I've,
Hello?
There we go. Hi.
Oh, so we were here. We weren't sure if you were finished with the introduction.
Yeah, there you are. Okay, hi.
How are you guys? How are you?
Fine. We're good. How are you?
Great.
How was your experience in the green room?
Oh, it was wonderful. I love the new plants in here. They're beautiful.
Excellent. You like those plants.
The fruit and all the, you know, the little stuff.
And the cheese and crackers
there
and
you
things.
Go.
Oh, good.
Oh, you tasted the fruit. Was it virtually delish?
It was.
You guys are crazy.
Good. I'll have to give the fruit guy a great big tip again.
That sounds like a good idea.
You guys have such a great show. It's lighthearted, it's fun, and it has a lot of really, really good information, serious information, yet you're able to make it fun and exciting. We really like that.
Oh, thanks. You know what? I think it's the universe who likes to make it fun, because things happen that we don't intend, but, you know, going with the flow, it's just a blast.
Right, it's awesome.
Well, you can tell. It comes across.
Good.
Yes.
Well, let's get started with you right from the beginning. I want to know, how did it happen by law of attraction that two similar names, Darian and Darius, could get together? Now, there's got to be a major story behind this. How did it happen?
It's amazing because, you know, really, when people see it, they even think we're either cousins or brothers.
Yeah.
You know, we look similar, and then the name. It sort of reminds us of Oprah and Gail. You know, Oprah's middle name is Gail, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Very strange. Well, we were actually raised in the same religious organization growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So we would see each other all the time at all the conventions and the different spiritual gatherings and things like that. But
our friends were the same.
We had the same circle of friends.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't really become best friends. Like, we didn't become like Oprah and Gail until 1988?
Yeah. That's, I believe, when it was around there when it really, we really got together.
Because we started realizing we both sort of believed the same thing, but we weren't really able to say anything.
Hmm.
You know, we were sort of searching for another way of thinking and living, and, you know, we both were really tired of all that fear and guilt.
And I think we kind of went our own way to kind of find ourselves. We went, you know, Darian, he found himself doing something else, and then I was over here doing something else. And then we, you know, we just came back together, I guess, in the late 90s.
Yeah, well, remember we took that trip. What started the whole thing with the company and everything was when we were going up to Connecticut to visit your friend.
Right.
And on the way up there, I said to Darius, I said, you know, Darius, all my life I've always wanted to be in radio and public speaking and talk shows and things like that, and entertainment. And
it so happened that I was already doing that at the time. Well, I have this opportunity here, and you can be a part of it, and I think that's how it sparked.
I mean, it was a matter of, 3 weeks after that, I had a small part in West Philadelphia. It was a small community, a radio station.
Right, WPD.
And we started there, and that was really the beginning of the company itself.
Right.
And that company is, what is the name of it? Darimar?
Yes, Darimar
Entertainment.
Yes, Darimar Entertainment.
Right, and that's actually both of our names.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the Dara is both our first
name.
Yeah.
And the last name is my that's my last name, the second half.
Yeah, Darimar.
Very clever.
but how we got into the actual this new type of thinking was, I think that came a little later, didn't it, Darius? Right. Was it during that time or a little after?
Well, it was when we really started to hone our skills in to start the company, which was around 1998, 1999.
Right.
When we started, reading Iyanla.
Oh, and I end up, that's right. I keep forgetting that story. Over here in Philadelphia, there's like a, I don't know, it's called South Street, but it's a very trendy area. There are a lot of artists and spiritual people, all this kind of thing going on.
Right.
And one day I was walking down the down that street, me, Darian, and my life was really a mess. I was in a bad relationship. Everything was falling apart. And I kept saying, God, I don't know what's going on. I just want to get my life together. I want money. I want a life. I want to be healthy. I want all of that.
Right.
I want it all. I want joy,
The hitting bottom moment.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I was like in the toilet. And I walked by this store called Garland of Letters. And it's a store that has a lot of Buddhist literature, New Thought, New Age, crystals,
magazine,
all those
books,
different things.
Right.
Meditation, yeah.
Right.
And but I was always told that was the voodoo store. We weren't allowed to go in there. But for some reason, something said, come in that store.
Uh-huh.
And when I went in there was a book called In the Meantime by Iyanla Van Zandt.
Yes.
And I saw it on the shelf, and I never heard of her before. And the picture of her on the cover, she had this look as if, you try to keep me down, but here I am now. How do you like me now? That type of book.
Just like the Oprah's book.
Yeah.
She's on the cover.
Exactly.
It's
just like
same,
that.
The same image, yeah.
The same image. And I looked at the book, and I said, wow, this looks really interesting. And I read the first page. I put it back on the shelf. I went to the back of the store. There was a person in the back reading it. And then on my way out of the store, there was an elderly Asian woman reading it. Now, that's 3 times I saw the book.
Mm-hmm.
And that told me, listen, you need to get that book because there's something in it that you need to read. And I took the book home, and I read the entire book that one night. I was up to 5:30 in the morning. Read the entire book. Then I called Darius. I said, Darius, I found this book. You have got to read it.
Right.
I said, what is it?
He said, no, you just got to read it. And then I took the book, and I would read it at lunchtime, and I found myself reading it all day, and I think I finished it before the week was out.
Yes, you did.
And I was like, oh, my God, I really love this book. Who is this person?
Yeah.
We never heard of her before.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it was
the
just
tapes.
Other stuff.
Then I bought the, they were tapes at the time.
Right.
I bought tapes. And that book for us became what The Color Purple was for Oprah. We started buying it for everybody got that book for Christmas and birthdays. So that started us on this journey. And then, of course, next thing you know, then Abraham came along and then Louise Hay. And then,
Les
we just
Brown.
Started meeting
Les
Brown
and all these
other people. And here we are today.
Wow, that's quite a journey. What was the primary message behind these different philosophies that really spoke to you?
I think the biggest thing for us was that we actually had control over our lives.
That's it, yes.
Because we always felt like we were just these, like, puppets on strings being dragged around by some force.
Right, we had to listen to everybody, our parents. Well, you listen to your parents, but when you're older, there's things you want to do in life, but because you have preconditions and old traditions from your family and it's passed down, You just feel like, you don't have no control, and then you get to work, and then you have to listen to your boss, and then your friends, and it just plays on down the line.
Yeah, and the religious organization that we belonged to at the time, of course they would never admit it, but their biggest tactic was guilt and manipulation.
Right.
It really was. Well, I guess that's a lot of them, but they got the Oscar for it because it was really bad. And it came because there were so many people there who had the potential to do really great things in art and speaking, dance, And no one was doing anything because we always felt that you were going after the world and it was wrong and you had to be small
and weak. And that's what they made us feel.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You can't go after riches, which that's not really what it was. It was we were dying with our art inside of us.
Yeah.
Like Wayne Dyer said, he got that passage from a mentor of his. We were dying with our art inside of us. It wasn't that we were going after riches or the wealth of the world. We wanted to express our art, and we had a lot of art to share, and that's where we thought of the company.
And for the type of life that we wanted to have in for our future and what we want to do for the world, it's going to take that type of money to be able to do that, you know, building schools and things like that to help those who are less fortunate and giving to charities and things like that. But then when we started reading these books and we realized even Jesus talked about that,
as you think, so
shall you be. And we're like, uh-oh, here we go.
So you started really becoming students of this idea of being in control of your life and how your thoughts create your world.
Oh, yeah.
What then made you decide to write this book?
Oh,
it was a lifelong experience.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, you know, you start to attract all types of people in your life, and we were attracting some teachers, so to speak, on the subject. And not to be disrespectful, but there was absolutely nothing in their lives that was showing that they were applying any of this information. They were saying we can be wealthy and everything. They were always begging for money from us. You know, you can have love and friendships. They had no friends. Nobody liked these people.
Right. And we were like, what is going on?
So they had all the words, and they had the talk down packed. I mean, they could give lectures on this stuff, but there was nothing going on in their lives that matched. So Darius and I, but we were seeing changes in our lives.
Uh-huh.
So
and they were getting mad at us.
And then another thing.
Our teachers were getting mad at us.
We had one guy, it's so funny, we had one guy who he came over, and we would go over the Abraham tape, Abraham Hicks.
Right.
And we were doing the meditations and visualizations, and quickly, however you want to look at it, things started happening for us.
Right.
And one day, it was like he was angry. He says, listen, I want to know how you guys are doing this. How are you making these things come about? And we were like, well, we're applying what you taught us. I don't understand why you...
using the principles that you taught us.
Yeah. And then he said, see, that's why I can't talk to you guys. You're flipped. He just started flipping out on us. And so then Dice and I came up with the idea, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could write a book to tell people, you know, don't just talk about it. Now, you have to talk about it.
Right.
But don't just talk about it. You got to be about it, too.
Right. Oh, wow. Now it all fits.
Excellent.
That is just perfect.
It is.
That is so perfect. Boy, I would love to send that to a few people. I'm attracted to. Oh, matter of fact, I think I'm going to do that.
That's so funny.
So not only does it have practical help for people, we actually narrate the experiences that we've experienced in this whole journey of making positive changes, and you see different experiences that we've gone through and how we could help other people because they're going through, you know, they're going through similar problems too or experiences. So it's universal.
Yeah, and they're true stories, and some of them are comical, some are a little silly here and there, you know, and then some are serious stories.
Right, yeah.
But you get the point. It's a very lighthearted book that you can read while you're in the bathroom or while you know you're waiting at the doctor's office. But it carries a powerful message. It really does.
What I think, too, is so powerful about it is that how you're speaking about it, that it's lighthearted and something that's easy to read and you can apply easily, and yet your own teachers who were making it very significant weren't having the results.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And let's just go further on that. Why do you think that they weren't getting the results?
Well, why did I think that they were not getting the results? But there were a lot of reasons. You know, when you listen to people speak, it's as if they plant the seed and then dig the seed right back up before they allow it to grow. I remember with this particular teacher, we were driving through one of the really nice areas here in Philadelphia, and I remember saying to him, they're building these new condos, and I said, well, you know, that's where I'm going to live when they finish this. Because my dream was to have a beautiful condo in the city and a nice house in the country. That's the way I've always wanted it.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, I'm going to live right there. He says, well, you can't live there. It's going to be, you know, that costs such and such, such and such thousand dollars.
Right.
And I remember saying to him, well, if I'm going to be there, I think it's obvious I'm going to have the money
wow.
in order to live there. But, you know, you can hear it in his own words, you know, 1 minute saying that you can have it all, but then turn right around and say something like, you know, well, I don't know how you're going to do that. It costs, you know, $200,000 to do this. So right away you're saying that you really don't believe what you're preaching.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't practicing it.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then we would consult with some people on a one-on-one basis
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they want help with certain issues and problems and things like that. And they really, really want these problems solved. And then we would go through the steps and the whole process and, you know, finding out what the problem is, the root cause, and really getting to it.
Yeah.
And then once we get to it, then it's like, you know what, I don't have time for that. I really want to go over here and
yeah.
I want to do this. So it's like, okay, you really don't want to change because you would change. Evidently, you would take these steps and really put it to practical use to help your life because this is what you wanted.
Yeah, and those people, they were getting, you know, they were getting very, they were comfortable.
Right.
It seems that they enjoy coming over to speak with us when it came to the problem.
Right.
Because, you know, whenever we have anyone come over, I mean, we'll set up tea, sometimes wine, depending on if that's what you want to drink, it's fine. And, you know, we'll sit back and we'll laugh and we'll talk about the particular problem. And it seems that a lot of them were okay with that part of the visit.
Right.
But then when we started peeling away the layers,
like, uh-oh.
And really getting to the root cause of why you have these blockages, you know, it could be jealousy or you're not
mm-hmm.
being forgiving.
Envious
and things like that.
Yep.
That's when a lot of them would disappear.
Mm.
So
they didn't want to do all the work.
Yeah.
They want you to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, you do all the work and then give it to me.
Right.
Well, let's talk about what you do recommend. For example, let's take a situation that's covered in your book and apply it to real life so that those people who are ready to make a change can learn something from it.
Yes.
What if someone is, for example, really suffering from a broken heart? What would you recommend to help them move through it?
Okay, you mean as far as breaking up with someone?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, the first thing we always tell people is that, you know, do not pretend you don't feel hurt.
Right.
Be real about it. If you want to beat on a pillow, if you want to curse, if you want to write nasty, evil letters, not send them, but
right.
if you just want to write
right.
it all out like that, you have to really honor yourself and acknowledge that you really are upset over this, and this is not a pretty situation. You know,
right.
someone you love
right.
has just dumped you or cheated on you or whatever. I mean, you have to really...
Right, we're not robots.
Yeah,
you have feelings.
You have feelings.
So you got to validate that.
Okay,
yeah.
Validate. And they can't send the letter? They got to hold on to all that?
You can't send the letter.
You can't send the letter. But there is an actual... there's a process you can do.
Yeah.
<with that.
laughs> But yeah, that's one thing we always tell them, to honor themselves and be real about what's going on. And then, matter of fact, for us, what we like to do if something like that was to ever happen, we would actually say, well, I'm going to allow myself 2 or 3 days to wallow in this
mm-hmm.
and really fully feel it. But then on that third day, I'm going to start taking some steps to fix this situation. And one of the things I know I've done when I've tried to let go of someone, I would write a letter to that person. And then I'm a dramatic person, so I would end up saying a prayer over the letter and then burning it on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
Or either bury it out in the yard.
Yeah.
And that would send a message to my subconscious that, okay, you've really put an end to this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that works right away, and then sometimes it still doesn't work, but it is a step
toward
making some changes. Yeah.
Definitely. And I can imagine that when you're talking to people about a broken heart, you know, they often don't hear themselves say the things that are the trigger points for you. I mean, you can tell immediately what their blocks might be associated with, and they just don't see it, I guess because they're so close to it.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And I think that's where, you know, you guys would be a huge benefit. You can hear, well, we can all hear, it's so easy to identify with another person how they are blocking themselves from the law of attraction.
Definitely.
But it's so hard for us individually
definitely.
To look in and going, oh, gosh, you know, look what I'm doing.
You know, and it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, when we have people who, you know, we've had quite a few come up to us about broken hearts and people who have left them. And we ask them right off, okay, what do you want to get out of this discussion?
Mm.
You know, and sometimes we just put it out to them. Do you want to sit here for the next 6 months and, you know, go over and over and over this, go on and on about this? Or do you really want to move past it? Because if it's really over, it's over. You know, there's one thing when you're kind of going back and forth and you're just having a problem with someone that you love. That's different. You're just having a little fight. And,
right.
You know, you want to get back together. But when it is obviously over,
right,
we have to get them to that space where they know, okay, you got to accept that this thing is over first.
Right.
Because,
to be
honest
with himself.
Because as long as you keep thinking, oh, what if, just maybe.
What if, yeah.
Yeah, he may come back or she may come back, then you really, oof, you got to get that part straightened out
first. Right, exactly. You doom yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good advice. You know, it's I see we have one caller, and before I open up the other lines, I want to run this one commercial thing so that we'll tell everybody where to call on.
Oh, great.
So hold on for just one moment.
Okay.
And then we're going to bring on the new caller.
You are listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you have a question for our guest tonight, call in at 718-508-9405. Again, that's 718-508-9405, or send me an email at julie@lawofattractiontools.com. Now let's get back to the exciting attraction in action.
Great. And we have a caller from
area
code 860. Hello there. Are you on? Hello there. Hello. Okay, the universe.
Or maybe they thought they were ready, but they really weren't.
No, they're still there. So, and maybe it just takes a second. I know that there is a 5 minute delay, a 5 second delay.
Mm.
So, hello. Well, then we're just going to continue on, and if she's or he is there, then we're just keep on hearing. So let's go on to the another question then.
Oh, great.
Okay. So, Darian and Darius, you've been talking about practical advice for people, and we've been talking about relationships. Do you also cover other kinds of relationship topics, like helping someone find an ideal mate?
In the book, Don't Just Talk About It, Be About It, we have, there is a section that we mention. It's not a very long section, but we do talk about the practical idea that if you're looking for someone, you have to be ready, of course, to move your feet and to go places where available people are.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't go, if you're single and you're looking for a mate, obviously, it might not be a good idea to go to a whole lot of parties where everyone's married and coupled off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You may want to go to maybe libraries or different events. You know, Toastmasters, a public speaking club that we're a part of.
Right. And, yep.
You know, the clubs like those, maybe
a museum,
cafe. Yeah, you may find single people there. We don't recommend bars, but if that's your thing, fine. We try not to be judgmental. But, yeah, but it would be good to always surround yourself with people who are single and basically spread the word to your friends. If you have friends, just let them know, you know, I don't want to be alone anymore. I'm really looking for someone in my life special. And state the credentials, what you're looking for. And be honest about what you really, really want.
And it helps to journal it, to write it down.
Yeah.
Because that keeps you focused on what or the credentials that you want in a person so that you won't lose track of it.
And we are big fans of meditation and visualization.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you that is really the key right there. If you can just get quiet, and after you do your journaling, like Darius said, and just take deep breaths and listen to quiet music and really visualize your ideal mate and be honest about it. You know, sometimes we're ashamed of what we really want.
Right.
And we'll say, well, you know, she doesn't have to be beautiful. You know, he doesn't have to be, as long as he's this and is that. And if physical beauty is really important to you, then you need to be honest about it and say,
right,
I want her to be a knockout.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because then you'll end up getting someone who has a great personality, but maybe may not look the way you want them to look. Or if you're constantly focusing on the way a person looks, but you're not focusing on that inner person either. You know, you have to cover all bases.
Right.
Right.
And make yourself available.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying about the visualization and meditation. Mm-hmm. I am a firm believer in that. I'm a hypnotherapist. And I can tell you, I have seen it in action.
Oh, yes.
It makes a dramatic difference to anyone if they're trying to quit a habit, if they're trying to just bring about more money in their life, more prosperity. The visioning is the most important thing you can do.
Yes.
The imagination, to jump over that critical mind and get it into the subconscious, and that's where it's all created. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I love about the writing it down part, too, is that once you write it down, it's like a contract with the universe.
Yes.
You can't take it back. Your mind can't edit it. It's there on paper, and you can just keep referring to it over and over again.
I love that.
Exactly.
Contract with the universe. I love that.
And you know, another important point, ladies, too, also, if you hone in on the attributes of good qualities like love, peacefulness, generosity, openness.
Yes.
If you embody those attributes in your own self and work on that, along with all these other things that we've discussed, you will attract that person who has those qualities and all the other stuff that you have.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That you journaled and you're constantly focusing on meditation and all that.
Yeah.
But you have to embody that and be grateful within yourself first.
Yeah, so don't just talk about it, be it.
Right, there you go.
That's right, and they'll seek you out.
Yeah, you know, and I'm so glad you brought that up because although the book, we do talk about the practical part of life, the book is saturated with spirituality.
Yeah.
It really is. We just found that a lot of times we're like a pendulum. We can go from one end to the other. There are those who are so practical, they forget all about the spiritual side, the meditation, the prayer, the journaling, and visualization. And then you have those who are so spiritual that they forget that you do have to move and you have to make things happen. You can't just wish for the new job and don't go on job interviews or go searching for a job. It doesn't. You know, you have to balance the two together.
And that we're still human.
And that right, right.
We still have human nature.
Yeah, because we believe we're spiritual beings living a human experience.
Right.
But that's just it, spiritual and human experience together. So
right.
You need both. You need both.
And we have a caller from the area code 617, which is Massachusetts.
Wow.
Hello there. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Yay, we have a caller that came through. I got a couple on here, too. So can I have your name, sir?
Yes, my name is Al.
Hi, Al.
Hello.
Hi, Al.
Well, hello, and I'm really enjoying the show. And I did have a question about relationships.
Oh, good.
Yes. You know, sometimes people will say that you're being too specific about what you're looking for. And you know, the more specific one is, it seems like your gene pool is smaller and smaller. So, should one be that specific about what they're looking for, given that you limit the number of people to choose from? How does that work?
Well, for us, and that's a great question because we've been there because we've been so specific that it gave us a headache, and then we were so loose with things, and we got another headache. So I think it really boils down to just being balanced. And as long as you're constantly feeling good, I think your feelings, your emotions, will tell you what you're doing if you're on the wrong track. If you're trying to visualize a person that you want,
yes,
and you're becoming so specific that it's really, as I said earlier, really giving you a headache, then, yeah, you're being a little too specific.
Yeah.
You're not allowing the universe to just flow. And as long as you're feeling good when you're doing it and you're visualizing the different attributes and everything, I think you're okay as long as you're feeling good. That's the, what do you call that? The
feeling gauge.
The gauge. I was looking for the
right
word, the gauge. It's always that feeling.
Yes. And also, too, we have to be specific, especially if it deals with our own inner self,
mm-hmm.
and who we want. Because who we want to be that companion is what is going to make us feel complete. Not, you know, the whole, like you said, the beauty, the physical attributes,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes that's immaterial. But if you're coming from the nature where it's you and you're feeling happy about it and you're not being pretentious or overly overbearing,
yeah.
I think it will serve you best because you know it's coming from you and you have that love and you're grateful and you're generous and all that. It's just going to shine through.
Yeah, I honestly say just be specific. Be honest about what you really want.
Yeah, it's being honest. That's the main point, being honest.
So yeah. It sounds like if it comes from one's authentic self.
That's
right.
Then probably you're in good hands.
Yeah.
And you're not setting up this ideal person that really is unattainable.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and then you mentioned that they can help, you know, perhaps we don't look for them to make us whole,
right.
but they complement who we are.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
They can share in your wholeness.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point of view, I think.
I mean, when we get to a point where, you know, okay, I want him to have not curly hair, but wavy hair. Yeah, now that's being too specific. You know?
It has to be flowing and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it starts getting a little, like, you know, he can't have a scar on his arm. Yeah, you know, that's when you're really getting a little silly with it. But, you know, you just have your idea of a type. I mean, you could say, well, you know, I prefer, you know, someone who's robust, or I would prefer someone who's slim because I'm attracted to that. You know, those are, they're specific, but they're not so specific that, it doesn't give you that headache. It's okay if you like slim people, if you like heavier people.
Yeah, that's a preference.
Yeah, it's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
They'll be focused but flexible.
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
That's good, yeah.
Right. I have to put that in our second book there.
Okay. But you know,
focused
also,
but flexible.
Kudos to you.
Another important thing is, you know, you can go and be specific, and by law of attraction, somebody's going to come into your life.
Yeah.
What people don't understand, they often get disappointed because it doesn't turn out to be the one that they will be with for the rest of their life. But they sometimes don't understand that person that they're attracting is but a stepping stone to get to their next and their ideal love. So it's like, don't go in there with a closed mind. Go in there with the appreciation of the opportunity that's being provided because it's showing you what it is that you truly want in a relationship. It's just another great opportunity.
Good point.
I think, and to add to that, I mean, that's an excellent point, because I think a lot of times when we say, some of our teachers will say, well, you shouldn't be too specific, I often wonder if there's a little fear hidden in that statement, because you're afraid you really might not get what you really want.
That's a good point.
Or deserve it. Or deserve it.
Really get what you really, really want.
Yeah.
It's just a law. It's just a law.
Yeah.
I really do.
And
that's very good. Al, thank you so much for your call.
You so
I really
much.
Appreciate
thank
that.
You. I hope you
My
help.
Pleasure. And I keep it going. I'm loving the show.
Oh wonderful.
Thank
well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And we have another caller from area code 909. You know, that's out in my area here. Wow.
Goodness.
Yeah, I'm really impressed. It's only 5 o'clock in the afternoon here. Well, 5:30.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Actually, we have a caller, 909. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Are you there, caller?
Hello? No, we didn't.
Maybe we answered the question.
Yes, by law of attraction. You know, sometimes this doesn't work. But that's okay.
Oh, well.
We'll just go on.
Anyway.
Yes.
We're having a ball.
You know, I have a feeling that it was probably another question related to relationships because, you know, this is really a hot subject for people.
It is.
That they emotionally get hooked in.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have another question, Hillary, that you could?
Well, I have lots of questions, but I wanted to make sure that we did ask before we have any more callers or go on, where is the book available? How can we get your book?
Well, this wonderful book we're talking about, don't just talk about it, be about it, Making Positive Changes in Your Life, it's available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and if you go to any bookstore, they're all over the place here in Philadelphia, but if you go to any bookstore or call them up and give them the title, they will have the book ready for you in 3 days. So it's basically available anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, but Barnes & Noble has been our biggest supporter. They've been wonderful. And, of course, the Amazon.com, those online stores. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Great.
So that's good information. It really sounds like your book is just outstanding. I haven't had a chance to read it, but I got to tell you, I'm going to go out and get it.
We're not tooting our own horn. And we had fun writing it. That's what made it so exciting.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to know, guys. How can two people write a book together without killing me? Please tell me, how did you do it?
It was hilarious because we couldn't figure out how are we going to write a book together? We thought this is kind of strange.
Right, and we had so many stories. It's like, how are we going to put this together?
Yeah. So one night I was up late, and I couldn't sleep, and they always say, like Wayne Dyer said, when that happens, that's when the universe is speaking to you.
Right.
Don't go back to sleep.
Ooh.
So I kind of walked around my living room for a while, and I said, how can we do this? And then I thought about, wait a minute, with all the people who come over to my home and speak with Darius and I, you know, it's like, why don't we document a lot of these stories?
That's right.
And the advice that we've given these different people. So the next day, I called Darius, and I said, Darius, you know, I have an idea for a book. He said, oh, yeah, I have one, too. I said, well, you know, we're all trying to be polite. I said, well, go ahead, Darius. You tell me your idea first. I thought mine was just going to go through the roof. He's going to love it. He said, why don't we write a book based on all the different conversations that we've had with people in your apartment? I said, wait a minute. Are you serious? And he said, why, what's up? I said, well, you know what? I was thinking the same thing.
Right. So kind of go back.
Right.
You go through that a lot.
Yeah. So that's, in fact, when you read the book, it's sort of set up where it's as if we're both speaking at one time on the subject, and then you'll see Darius's name in bold type where he gives his personal observation,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll see my name in bold type and my personal observation.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's amazing how that came together.
Like a dialogue.
It works.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. works. So that's how we how we were able to do it. So as we went through the different subjects, I would, you know, ask Darius, well, what part do you want to add? And then he would do a chapter, say the chapter on money or the chapter on forgiveness.
Right.
And he would call me up and say, well, you know, I just got finished doing the chapter on forgiveness. Do you have any experiences that you would like to add or any stories to add to that chapter?
Mm-hmm.
So we did it that way, and it just flowed.
Right, and it was fun. It just seemed like
we
were
fun.
Just...
Oh, my goodness, that's incredible.
Yeah,
it
was fun.
I mean, you could tell the universe, the thumbprint was on this. You can just tell.
And so tell me, how long did it take you to write it?
It took about, I think, altogether about a year, Darius, was it?
About
a year?
Over a year.
Over
but the
a
whole
year.
Process was a few months.
Well,
but between,
no, between working with the publishers and
oh,
all
right.
of it.
About it.
About, actually,
about
a year and a
right,
half.
Right?
Right. Yeah, about a year and a half. So really, it only took, no, that's right. That's what made it so crazy. It only took us about 10 months to write the book. Yeah,
just
about 10 months.
The whole process of getting it to them, the turnaround was so fast.
Yeah.
Because they loved it, the manuscript, we had everything ready.
And we can relate to what Wayne Dyer says, and I'm sure you guys know this too, that it's almost as if the spirit takes over you and the stuff just flows.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like these are not your hands typing on this computer or writing in this book.
Right.
Definitely.
And that's what happened. It just flowed like water.
Wow.
I mean, because that was the fact. I mean, even you did the children's book before.
Oh, yeah, once before that. Yeah.
Oh, you did a children's book?
Oh, yeah, that was about 5 or 6 years ago. We did a children's book on African women.
Yeah, but that...
Yeah, we're going to redo that later. So, you know, something less later.
But this process was a lot faster. And like Darian said, it was like God's thumbprint, that God wink type scenario where it just was like everything was right there. Everything just went by so smoothly.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Wow, how wonderful.
Yeah.
So are you going to be doing a children's store, a children's book, like on the law of attraction or anything?
Yeah, we thought about that.
What a great idea.
Yeah. The thing is, we have never actually talked to really small children about this type of subject. The first book, the African book, that was about taking pride in your physical appearance. And it was for little girls, you know, little boys too. Mm-hmm. We had one we wanted to do for little boys as well. But we've never actually sat and talked to really small children about the law of attraction and how it works. So we're investigating. We're trying to learn, and we'll see how that goes.
And, you know, talking to the little kids, they're like the teachers for us.
Oh, my goodness.
They tell us a thing or two. Yeah. It's very fascinating. So that would be really interesting. How do you write something that the children just need to simply remember, would they?
Yeah. Well, we have a young girl. Her name is Ayan. We go to a place called the Center of Peace here in Philadelphia.
A trans-denominational spiritual community.
Yeah, it's a science of mind. A center. And she's 9?
About 8. She will be 9 in a few months.
Oh, she's amazing. They showed the secret at the center one day. And
oh, really?
Oh, my goodness. She's an incredible girl. I think she's one of those indigo children.
Oh, really?
I really do.
Very articulate, very together.
Huh.
She's amazing. I mean, she was going around giving out gratitude rocks to people.
Oh!
And we're like her uncle. She loves us to death. And she, you know, she's written things down, and she showed us that she has 2 vision boards with all these big, beautiful homes and cars on it, you know. So, yeah, you know, that's a good idea. Maybe we'll sit and chat with her and find out what would be good for, you know, young children as far as the law of attraction is concerned. Yeah, that's a good idea. Thanks.
It sounds like she could write a book.
Isn't it
wonderful that at 9 years old, I mean, look at the head start in life.
That's right.
Mm. Oh, I wish I would have had that.
I know.
Anything for that.
You know? And her parents must be incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Her mother is phenomenal, yes.
Beautiful woman. Her name is Nia Moshe, the mother. And just phenomenal. Have you ever been around people and you can just feel the love and the joy coming out of their bodies?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you can just tell their life works just looking at the way they walk. And that's how you feel when you're around this lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Yeah, I think you should write a book and help other kids and help their parents to understand.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that there's, I mean, there's no reason why they need to start off in late in life like I did.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They can start off from the very beginning and just imagine the power that they will gain.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. I mean, talk about a shift in energy for the world, huh?
Oh, it would be awesome.
Wouldn't it be great if they would teach all of this in school?
Oh, man.
Wouldn't that be something? You know what? Well, you know, right now what we're doing over the broadcasting air is we're putting it out to the universe.
That's right.
Yes, we are.
You know, they need to teach the law of attraction to the kids in school today. And that's what would create a huge shift in the world for peace, for loving yourself, I mean, oh, everything, for prosperity. Oh, my goodness, what a change.
It would change the whole dynamic of the school system.
It absolutely would. It'd be extraordinary.
It would. Okay, so that's it. That's what our deed was for today.
There you go. We
did that. You know, we just changed the world. And with our listeners, we can just put that out even more. So,
do we have time for another question, Julie?
Yeah.
Great.
I have a question for you guys. You have had lots of conversations with people, your own personal experiences. And I'm wondering, what have you found that there is, and what is it, a common thread or obstacle that keeps people stuck? Have you heard like the same thing over and over again?
Oh, good question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is a good question. There's so many obstacles. Well, Darius, I'm not sure, because sometimes he does private consultations with people.
Mm.
For me, it seems really to be that forgiveness thing for some reason.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Whenever we talk to people who just can't seem to get the right job or can't seem to find the right person, the right mate or get money, you know, or health. For some reason, when you start speaking with them, there's always some mean teacher or somebody in their past, or they're angry with someone on the job. They just refuse to let that go.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they'll say they're very forgiving and loving and all this, but the more you talk, and when that particular person comes up, you may, you know, let's just say, for example, Maria. You say, oh, yeah, so how's Maria? Have you seen her? Don't even bring her name up. I don't want to hear. You know, and they don't realize, even if they don't, even if you don't open your mouth and say anything, you're still talking because that emotion is sending out a vibration.
The feeling carries,
Yes. And in my situation, it seems to be the forgiveness thing now, Darius.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
In mine, it seems to be the be undeserving.
Mm.
They don't feel deserving.
Yeah.
Of a
so it's their self-esteem.
Right. And just the other day, I was speaking with a young woman. Well, she has kids. She's not that young, but she has. She's a young parent, probably middle age, in her 30s.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
and
yeah.
She has children, and she was trying to connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying to figure out a way to connect with. I think she had a son that was around 8, and she had a daughter around 13.
Mm-hmm.
And she seemed to be not connecting with the kids, and she was wondering why, and she was feeling really bad, and the daughter was acting out and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was speaking with her in a conversation on different things and points of her life, it came out that the reason why she wasn't able to give to her kids was because she was undeserving of a lot of things that happened in her life.
Mm, right.
Because of her not being... I guess she wasn't showered gifts or showered love in her life as a
growing
kid.
Up, yeah.
So it kind of made a ripple effect
yeah.
in her kids. So, and that's just one case, but it was a lot of cases where they were undeserving of a lot. They didn't think they deserved the money. They didn't think they deserved nice surroundings or nice things or a good mate or something like that.
Remember this is when we were in New York and we had a friend in New York and we wanted to take him out to lunch. We went to visit him, and he said, well, we're going to take him out to lunch. It was a surprise.
Right.
And we were looking for places to eat, and we said, hey, we're going to take you out to lunch. And he had to say, oh, no. I mean, he's, like, really freaked out. He's like, well, what's the matter? He said, well, no. I mean, I invited you guys up here, and it's like, well, we're just going to, take you out to lunch. Well, okay, I'll pay for the tip. You know, it's like...
He couldn't accept it.
He just could not accept
a
free lunch, a gift.
Yeah. That's precious. That's really precious. That always tickles me when that happens. That's good. That's a good one.
You know.
Well, we are almost out of time here. I got to tell you, I just really enjoyed tonight. It was just great. Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Now, do you want to give out your all your information? Darian or Darius, on how people can connect with you?
If they want to look us up on the web, our website is www.darimarentertainment.com. It's spelled D as in David, A-R-I, M as in Mary, A-R, and the whole word entertainment.com.
Okay, good.
You can check out our bios and other things.
Okay, and would you like to mention your radio show?
Oh yeah. We didn't even talk about that. It's called It's
We
All About
We Got Caught Up. I'm sorry.
The radio show, it's called It's All About You, and it's right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
And I think
they can go to our website.
Oh, and in fact, if you go to the website, there's a button right there. You can just click right on there, and it'll take you straight to the show.
Right.
And it's a show that's based on a lot of the information that's in our book, Don't Just Talk About It, Be About It.
Right.
Positive living, positive consciousness in all areas of your life. And blending the spiritual with the practical.
Right.
And living a
which
balanced
is
life.
So important.
Yeah. And I think that is that it so far, Darius, as I can think of. Because we have some events coming up, not until August and September, but they haven't been confirmed yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some different workshops and things. But since they're not confirmed, we don't want to have people running all over the place. But if they can go to the website, they'll get all the information right there.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And we've also got your link onto our host page. So in case they forget it, they can go come back here and then just click on it and be directed to your site.
Wonderful.
Thank
well, thank you again, you guys. I really appreciate it. It was wonderful, and sure we'll be talking soon.
Yes, we will, and congratulations on the new, co-host you're going to be receiving.
Yes.
Wasn't Hillary great tonight?
Oh, she was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Yes,
I had a lot of fun.
Oh, it was awesome. We had a great time.
You were great.
We feel like we're sitting in your living room just having tea and just talking about life.
Terrific. Pass the tea. Okay, well, thank you very, very much, and we will talk to you all later. And for our other guests, our listening audience, stay tuned to the after show where we're going to be talking directly to Hillary. So thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you or hearing from you in just a little while.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks
to another
segment of
another segment of Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Now don't forget to sign up to vote for your favorite new
for your favorite
through the Law of Attraction thelawofattraction.com website.
And just remember,
life is laid out.
Just like
mold it,
match your desires.
Life just grand.
Echo.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm having some technical difficulties again, but that's okay.
I just think we have double the energy tonight, Joy.
You know what? That's probably it, because that's never happened before.
That is certainly wild. Makes people listen twice as hard.
Yeah, right. Right. Well, anyway, that was fun. I really had a great time with them, and you did a fabulous job. I got to hand it to you.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot from them.
Yeah, they are so cute.
They are.
Let's go on to the after show. And Hillary, I really want this time to be about you so that our listeners can get more of a sense about you.
Okay.
What do you think so far of everything here on the show?
Oh, I think it's terrific. It's so much fun. I really enjoy talking to the guests, finding out their perspectives, asking the questions, and connecting with humor through these concepts that for some people can be new, can be challenging. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about your prosperity coaching and your intuitive strategist practice?
Absolutely. I'll tell you a little bit about me so that your listeners can get a sense of who I am.
Okay.
About a decade ago, I opened my business. It's called Soul Purpose. And what I'm all about is prosperity coaching. I'm an intuitive strategist and a speaker, a transformational speaker. And basically what that means is that I get to help people make their dreams come true.
Ooh,
which is a lot of fun. And I really began my work out of a desire to help other people learn to follow their heart, listen to their higher guidance, pursue their passion, and live a life of effortless ease and abundance. That's really what it's all about. Anybody who knows me knows I'm all about effortlessness. And so this process had to be about finding your true self, but pursuing it and pursuing your passion with ease. No more struggle.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah.
Then everybody wants to know how to do that.
That's right. They do. And, you know, it's so interesting because I have been coaching and speaking to people all over the world about all kinds of different topics for the past, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. And the one thing that I kept hearing over and over again was something that actually Darian and Darius had talked about, money.
Mm.
Money really got in their way.
Yes.
I found this fascinating, that the single greatest factor that stopped people from really being able to move forward, to make their dreams come true, to create a really outrageously delicious life, was money.
Mm.
But it wasn't actually money itself. It was the fear of the lack or loss of it.
Yeah, yeah, truth, the fear, uh-huh.
Yes, it was so fascinating to me. And so I really got curious about that and started to work with people around the energies of prosperity. And that's when I was introduced to Abraham and Law of Attraction and all sorts of different teachers. Catherine Ponder, for example, and Stuart Wilde, who wrote this fantastic book called The Trick to Money is Having Some.
Oh, that's good.
Mark Allen, I studied in the Hawaiian tradition of Huna, all these different prosperity teachings and ideas and concepts I started to take in and evolved it into my practice to really teach people about this, moving from a more perhaps head-based business focus to more spiritual internal focus.
Okay, well, give us some steps here that we could identify with. What do you think is what advice would you give people
about
right off
well,
the bat?
This is what I would say. I in thinking about this, and especially in talking about it for the show, I narrowed it down because there are lots of different places where people get stuck. around money specifically. And you and I spoke a little bit in the pre-discussion of the show about, you know, why do people sabotage around money? It's such a powerful thing in our society. And here's what I think. I think that there are three main reasons why people get stuck around money, why we have such difficulty. One, we don't understand really what it is. And we don't know how to use it.
Hmm.
Two, we don't have a good relationship with it at all. And three,
comes and goes too fast.
That's right. And three, we have long-standing, very deeply ingrained beliefs about money and about ourselves and money that get in the way.
Hmm.
That get in the way of us feeling like we deserve it, that we can attract it easily, that we can have what we want. And so those concepts are the most prevalent. Those are what I see as the most powerful reasons why people stop. And we can talk about that. I can certainly break that down if you'd like.
Yes.
About these different issues. Well, the first one I mentioned was we really don't understand it. I mean, when you think about money, for example, how do you think about it? What do you think it does for you? What's its job?
Well, for me, its job is to free me up for freedom. That's what it is for me. That's what it would bring me is freedom.
Yeah, freedom. And that is so, I mean, people want freedom. That's what we desire is freedom. And some of the more common answers that I hear in addition to freedom, which is one of probably the top five, is that money will help me feel safe, secure,
right,
successful.
Right.
And then I'll be able to have the necessities of life and also have some fun.
Right.
And so what I usually tell people is, well, this is where it starts, is that you're misunderstanding what money's job really is. Because if you give money all that responsibility to provide security, freedom, safety, status, you know, all of those things, it's kind of like you giving that role to your four-year-old.
Mm.
So there's probably a lot of parents out there listening. You may have a four-year-old, and imagine going up to your four-year-old and saying, your job is to make me feel financially secure, free, happy, provide me with freedom and the necessities of life.
Right.
So what do you think would happen to that four-year-old? Imagine this bug-like kid. Runaway screaming. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we give that four-year-old an inappropriate role.
Right.
And I always ask people, you know, whose role really is that? Whose responsibility really is all those things? Well, it's our own. It's our own to provide those things and feel those things for ourselves. Because we actually don't get those feelings, and freedom is a feeling, right? We don't get that from money. That's the feeling that it creates within us.
Mm.
So we have to give money a new job, and really it's not a new job. It's the job it's been doing forever, and I think it's simple, and I think, which you'll really like, is that it's fun.
Good.
So here's money's job: to make more of itself.
Yeah.
That's it.
Duplicate.
That's
just
right.
Just keep on making more.
To make more of itself. Woohoo! Right? I mean, really, if you look at the stock market, that's its design. We invest it, and its job is to make more of itself.
Right.
So people don't
go forth and multiply.
That's right. Go forth and multiply. And really, when we look at it, why I say people don't understand it is because they think of it more of a thing than an energy.
Oh.
So when we talk of the law of attraction, it's really all about energy and feeling good. But money tends to make us feel bad. And we think of it as this thing that makes us feel bad. Instead of saying, you know, what if it's as prevalent as air? What if it's just as available as air? But we don't relate to it that way.
Mm. Oh, that's a very, very good point. Very good point.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, one of the best examples I like to think of in terms of, you know, looking at it as this energy that's just really abundant is, I don't know anyone who wakes up in the morning and runs to the front door and rips it open and starts breathing in all the oxygen they can because they know by 2 o'clock there's not going to be any more. And then they hold their breath for the rest of the day because they don't want it to disappear.
Right.
And that's how we relate with money. It's like, I've got to get it all now, and then I've got to hold on to it. If we really
That is so true.
Well, and if we really understand it that way, we can start to let go and say, you know what, like breathing. I always say that our bank account is like a living, breathing organism. What goes in, goes out. Breathe in, breathe out. So we have to let the money flow the same way.
Okay. So you're suggesting is not hoarding the money and letting it go out because it will replenish itself?
And giving it a new role, which is one based in fun, that it goes out and plays with other monies and makes more of itself. And that we live our life. And if we're living our life in a space of it's going to come, it's going to come in, it's going to go out, that's a natural flow, I'll be fine, then we attract it to us.
Okay. Okay, so we have to adopt another attitude towards money. But what about for the people or the listeners out there who are worrying about their bills not being paid? So if they go out and they take what's left of their checking account, and instead of paying the bills or just go out and have fun, how does that work for them?
Really good question. That it's very similar to what Darian and Darius were talking about, as far as you have an idea, but then you can't take it one step forward. You get caught in your current reality.
Uh-huh.
And so that's their current reality. They're stuck in the feeling of, I don't have enough, I don't have enough.
Uh-huh.
I think that with money, you definitely want to be responsible, so you may not want to take the rent money and go spend it on a boat or on a new pair of shoes.
Unless you want to go sleep on the boat, yeah.
You could do that, and then you have your new residence.
That's right.
Waterfront property in Steve Place. I like it. I'm there. But I think the idea is to have the intention and to start to create a better, and that was point number two, is that we have a horrible relationship with money. We need to create a better relationship with it to understand it. Why people struggle that way is because they have what I call your basic dysfunctional relationship, or they have no relationship at all with money. And so they may be going out and worrying about whether they have the rent money or trying to decide what they're going to spend it on, but it's coming from a fundamental feeling.
Of lack,
of not deserving, or I'd want to avoid this, or I'm ambivalent about how I'm spending my money.
Huh.
And so a lot of people, for example, they'll use credit cards.
Mm.
You know, the thing with credit cards, I think there's nothing wrong with them. I think they're fantastic. However, what it does is create a barrier between people and their money.
Mm-hmm.
And so my example is, imagine that you're dating someone over the internet and you never meet them. There's a barrier there, right?
And
that person. It's the same if you always use credit card. So by bringing the cold, hard, green stuff into your life, by actually having cash, you start to create a better relationship with it, but you also raise your vibration. The more you have it with you, the more you will attract to you.
So in other words, even using the debit card, it's better to have the cash, hard, cold cash, in your palm.
Not necessarily better, but in addition to.
But in addition to.
This is something that I started to do, because it's funny. When I started my relationship with prosperity, I didn't have any.
Mm.
And so I really had to work through all those feelings of, I'm a fraud, and I don't. How can I talk to people about having money when I don't have money? But I started to very quickly learn about money, really what it was as an energy, and how to create a better relationship with it. And so one of the things that I would do would be to make sure that I always had cash with me, and I wasn't afraid to spend it. The debit card was great, and you know why it was great, debit and credit? Because I didn't have to deal with money directly. I didn't have to see it direct. So I would say, oh, that's easy to spend because it's not real.
Right.
But when I started to have it in my hand, it did two things. It made me more relaxed around having money, and I could connect with my energy in a different way around it, where it was a joy rather than me being afraid of it. I wasn't avoiding it anymore.
Oh, very interesting concept. That is good. I like that.
So I encourage people to touch it and play with it. And not only that, talk about creating a relationship. You'll love this. I tell men, treat your money like you treat a good woman. Really, if you want to have it around you, and it's just an energy, imagine if you treated your woman wrong, right? You did her wrong. She's not going to want to be around you. It's all energy.
Oh.
So if we can agree that it's all energy, then if money's also an energy that you desire and you want it around you, woo it, demystify it, play with it. So things that people can do that sound really silly, but what it does is it takes the barrier, the fear away, is to start to be in touch with your money, have it with you. I would go to the bank and get $100 in ones, in singles, and I'd spread it over my bed and roll around in it like they do in the movies.
Oh, my God. So wonderful.
Because what it did, it had me become a friend to money. I was looking forward to it. It was something that I could play with rather than something I had to be anxious about all the time.
Wow.
So that's really important.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Yeah, that is really good.
Yeah.
Great suggestions.
Yeah. So you want to pay attention to money that way and really recognize first of all, what the relationship is. Is it love, hate? Is it ambivalence? Is it avoidance? Is it guilt-based? A lot of us have guilt. Is it lack of deserving? You know, here's something really interesting, Julie, that I heard one day when I was watching Oprah. Somebody was talking about money and their issue with money and that they felt, well, you know, I have this kind of tough relationship with it because I don't feel like I deserve it. So it's, kind of, it's really kind of love-hate or standoffish. I'm very distant.
Right.
And she's, the person said, I just never felt like I deserved it. I had to get over that. And Oprah looked at them and she said, I've never felt that way.
Yeah. And that's why she's got zillions.
Hello, she's a billionaire. So here's a person who doesn't have guilt and lack of deserving in her, what I call, money mentality. It's just not there.
She's always felt that she deserves it. She's well worth it.
Yeah.
And every minute that she spends on something is bringing forth more money to
She's
her.
She's not apologizing for it, et cetera.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's true. You look at the even Donald Trump. He doesn't have a self-esteem problem, that's for sure.
You know what's interesting about him, too, is that he's lost his fortune numbers of times. We always hear stories, right,
yes,
about millionaires and people who have made it big, that they succeeded and failed, however you want to define that, so many times.
Uh-huh.
And I think, again, see, that's where it comes from. It's not about the money. It's similar, again, to the book tonight about it's not about what you're saying. It's not about what you're doing. It's how you're being. And so for them, it's not about the money that they had it and lost it and that means that they're failures and that they're terrible and that they're not deserving. That was just a challenge to overcome.
Huh?
They didn't let it stop them.
That's true.
It was a detail. It wasn't the overwhelming evidence that said, I cannot do this. It was just the detail. And that's the difference, I think, between people who are millionaires and who have access to that kind of wealth, if you want to, you know, use that word, and those who don't, is they think differently. They really believe and think, and they have a different energy about them. But here's the other interesting thing. I've worked with a lot of millionaires who also have the same fears and beliefs that many who aren't millionaires do.
Okay.
They're going to lose it. They're afraid of it. And that happens. We often see lottery winners, for example.
Yeah, who turn around and lose it immediately.
Who lose it all. Or who aren't fulfilled in life. In fact, I have worked with a couple of millionaires who have come to me because they lost their passion. So it wasn't the money. But what happened was they earned the money in a place that wasn't from the heart.
Mm.
So they received their money in a place that wasn't from the heart, and their money never made them happy. And so now here they are working with me trying to figure out what's going to make them happy, and it just so happens that they have the money, but I always tell them, I wish I could bottle you up and take you with me to tell people money doesn't make you happy.
Mm.
Because it's the intention. It's, again, the feeling. We all know, Abraham, there's nothing more important than that you feel good.
Exactly.
So you can have all that money but feel empty.
Hmm.
We've got to work on the relationship that we have. And, you know, the relationship is fed by my third point, which is the beliefs. The beliefs and the feelings that we feel about money. And that's really what feeds everything. The thoughts that we have in our head that turn into the emotions that we have then have us behave and act and attract and draw and even repel those things that you know, get in our way. So, for example, if people have judgment about something, people who have money are. You know, if I were to ask you, people who are rich are, how would you answer that?
Well, in my book, I think they're wonderful, but in some people's minds, they would say, you know, I think that they're really cruel, or I think that they're really mean, or they're very arrogant.
Well, you gave a perfect example right there, because there's the spectrum. Some people say people who are rich are smart and they're wonderful, and other people would say they're cruel and they're arrogant. And my thought is that really when you're coming to that place of believing that you need to be neutral. You want to feel good, but think neutrally, meaning people who have money are people who have money.
Yeah, they're no different from anybody else.
If you have a judgment about it either way, then you actually push it away from you.
Huh, interesting.
Because what you resist persists, right? So if you put it out there and you say, I can't tell you how many people I've worked with, how many of my clients say, I want to have money, but I believe people who have money are greedy. Well, they don't want to be greedy. So therefore, they're setting up the subconscious belief that, well, I don't want to be greedy, but I want to have money. But people who have money are greedy. Therefore, if I have money, I'm greedy.
So how is it if they're wonderful? how the other end of the spectrum? I'm not understanding
that. Well, if you have the belief that they're wonderful, but you might have a belief about yourself that you're not, or that you have to be wonderful, you're putting some kind of pressure, any kind of judgment on it, whether it's positive or negative, good, bad, however you want to look at it. If you make that polarity happen, then you're creating energetic drag. But if you say, you know, people who have money are people who have money, and I choose to have money, no drag. There's no concept in the way.
Interesting. Very good. Interesting.
And I could tell you, you know, in my personal life how this worked. When I first started doing this work, I had to distinguish these concepts for myself, really figure out what was going on, because I was not prosperous yet, but I wanted to be. I wanted to have money. I wanted to have, and by the way, when I say prosperity, I don't just mean money. I think we've gotten caught up, especially with the new message of The Secret and all that, we can get very confused thinking that this is just all about having material things.
Right.
I really look at prosperity like Catherine Ponder does, which is holistically, that it means really well-being in all areas of life, that we're whole and healthy in all areas of life.
Mm-hmm.
And for some, having a lot of money isn't that. They may not have a lot and still feel prosperous, and that's fine. But I decided that I wanted to have more, and I distinguished a belief about myself. And then I discovered where it came from. And this is also some of the work that Susie Orman does. I discovered, I have this memory that I was standing shopping with my mother. And she's probably listening tonight, so, hi, Mom. I tell this story. And really, it wasn't about her, but what I realized was we were shopping, and we did that a lot. I grew up in a retail family, so we did that a lot. But I just remember her saying when we got to the cashier, oh, we spent so much money, Dad might be mad. Now, you know,
yeah.
Innocuous enough, how many parents have said that? I'm sure we've all said that.
Oh, yeah,
to
how many wives have said
shopping.
That,
yeah. Yeah, that's right. But I determined that I had decided as a child, that, oh, I wasn't worth spending this on, and I'm in trouble. You know, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
So years later, I figured this out, and I wouldn't spend on myself. I would wait until the toothpaste was all the way gone before I would go and get another tube. I had to justify my spending. Once I was able to see that and recognize it, I could move past it and create a different belief, one where it wasn't about, ooh, I'm bad, I'm in trouble, but I'm deserving of having this. I choose to have this.
Wow.
So being aware and conscious is so important for people, you know, and also how you're speaking about it, not only what you're believing, but what you're speaking. I have this wonderful client who, in fact, just emailed me something the other day, knowing I was getting ready to come on the show, and she said, you being on the show reminded me of this story. She said, when we first started working together, I was learning about money and how I believed about it and what I thought. And she said, my thought was, I'm throwing money out the window. And so we started working together. She said, you know, I had this thought, and then I remember that we needed to go get an air conditioner because it was summertime. And when we went to buy it, I was thinking, we don't have the money for this. We're just throwing money out the window. We can't afford this. They still got the air conditioner. And she said, you know, my husband was putting the thing in, and don't you know, it fell out the window. It fell out the window into the yard. And she said, you know, it didn't occur to me until now when I was kind of reviewing some things that what I thought and what I said was what happened.
That's amazing. When those things happen, and they happen all the time. Oh, I love them.
They absolutely happen all the time. So we really need to become aware.
Yeah.
You know, create a better relationship with our money. Have fun with it. Really think about how we're speaking about it, what we're feeling about it. It's so, so important.
And realizing that it's energy. And that is an excellent, excellent concept. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Well, that's wonderful. Very good information, and I know that you've just helped a lot of listeners, so I'm just so appreciative. This is just wonderful.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for letting me share this and have the opportunity, because I love sharing this. I love this venue. I think talking to people this way is extraordinary, and it's a lot of fun to get to talk about prosperity, which is
oh,
cool.
It always is. And please tell people your website and how they can get a hold of you so that they can come and ask you questions.
Oh, fantastic. Yes, my website is www.prosperitycoach.com.
Okay.
and they can just click there, and all of my email information and my phone number is there, and people are welcome to have a complimentary session with me if they like, or hire me to speak for an event, or you know, hear different radio clips I've done. So there's all kinds of great information there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And I just want to remind people to go and vote. Vote for Hillary. I mean, I just think she did a fabulous job. I'm just thrilled with her. So go out there and vote for her and say she's the winner.
Yay, say I'm the winner. Absolutely.
And
please vote
then,
for me.
Yeah. Again, I want to thank you. I want to remind everybody to tune in next week. We have Kevin Forsman, who is from the highest ground. It's going to be a very interesting show. We have a new finalist. So tune in next week. And again, Hillary, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Oh, it was absolutely delightful, Julie. Thank you so much.
Okay, and we will be in touch.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Thank you so much, and good night to everyone.
Good night.
Night.